Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Uh-oh. Hey, your mic's not working, so try this.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm the Vicar of Christ. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist.
What's up, Vicar?
Later on tonight, one of the best stand-up comics currently working. And Drew, you know I don't like stand-ups.
You don't? No, no. In fact, I can't recall the last time you actually said something positive about a comedian.
Well, you won't hear me say anything negative about Dave Attell.
Wow,
Dave, you know, from Insomniac and just about everywhere, but. Dave is, I've seen him do stand-up on more than one occasion and is excellent. So he's going to be in here later on tonight. Let me say this. Drew and I, by the way, both in New York City this evening.
Adam just had a huge dinner. He's about to fall asleep on us.
Well, it's 1:05 out here.
Yeah, but you've just arrived here 3 hours ago.
No.
So that makes any difference.
No. I got up at 5:45 this morning.
How'd your wife do with that?
Not good, but it was funny for me, you know. But had the town car driver that never
stopped talking.
And town car guys who drive the town car, sometimes some of the most overqualified guys in the world. You know, they know everything about local city government, and they know everything about almost everything, but yet it's still $12 an hour. And hopefully someone flips them $10 when they get out to the passenger loading zone over at LAX. But that was fine. Got up, went to bed at 2, got up at 5:45.
Nice.
What I wanted to say is that we're over here at CBS in New York, in Manhattan. I was walking down the hall and running a little bit late and had to stop at a door because it was one of those office doors where the people paste up all the comic strips that they think are funny, but it's more like it's not so much that they're funny, but that it's them.
Right.
Oh, this is me.
Right.
I'm a huge Cubs fan, and this is a joke about, and so it's going to mean something.
Yeah.
I think those things should be reviewed before they go up, and that they have to be an 8+ on the comedy scale.
Right.
I always stop at the person's door.
You expect an 8, right?
Yeah, they do it at they do it on lockers in the jock lounge and stuff. You know, people just first off, who is that person? Who and Drew? Close your eyes and imagine a scenario, the wildest scenario, where you're thumbing through a newspaper, find a cartoon that you think is particularly amusing, then get out the scissors, cut it out, bring it into work, and scotch tape it to the door or locker or whatever represents you over at the office.
It has to be living in a parallel universe.
Yeah, it would never happen.
Yeah.
And let me ask you this. You know, it'd be a great thing to do. I always think about this. What if somebody said to you, "Look, we're going to give you $10 million if you just do one of these mundane things that other people do. You see it all around. It's nothing extraordinary. You would just never do it.
Couldn't do it.
You walk around going nuts, pasting up things. You just couldn't do it. Knitting your dog a sweater. Like you wouldn't know where to go. It'd be a form of torture. You end up killing yourself.
Oh my God. But
I just mean.
And you know me, I'd be like, I lost the.
Yeah, but you would never, like, you would never, ever put one of those things up.
No, it smacks a little bit of comic book store owner.
Here's all I'm saying. I don't want to be, Ebenezer Scrooge, but if I'm running a workplace, you got a cartoon you want to duct tape to the door of your office, I got to review it. It's got to be a good knee slapper.
Sure.
If it's not the goddamn funniest thing I've read all month, it's going in the garbage.
Yeah.
You go ahead and put it in your upper drawer. It's not going on the front.
How many family circles up there?
45.
Oh.
No, I stopped by this person's door, and I had to, even though I'm running late for the show, I had to read each one on the door, and then it becomes a sort of weird, it's like that loose tooth that's painful, but you have to keep flicking it with your tongue. Like, no, I have to finish the door before I move on. But then all of them feel little less satisfying than the last. And now you're angry. Why did this person put this up? But then they're sort of specific. So you feel like, ah, this must mean something to them. They're a Star Wars fan. They're a Red Sox fan. There's something going on. And then maybe somebody else cut it out because they thought it spoke to them and put it up. And then what do you do?
Then now it's a joke.
Yeah. No, maybe it was one. No, maybe it was one of these things where it's like, Drew,
you'll appreciate this.
Drew, he loves border collies. I get something that's so funny to a border collie owner. I'm going to cut it out and put it on Drew's locker, and then you can't take it off. All I'm saying is it's got to be goddamn funny, or it's not going up on the door, or just better yet, nothing on the door. I know it's a little sort of Nazi Germany-esque, but it's a workplace. You just wasted a good minute. Well, what would be a minute and a half of everyone else's time? For me, who reads at a third grade level,
that's right.
It was 9 minutes.
I wonder where you were all the time.
And I had to read it and had to drag my finger across.
I went back out there looking for you.
Yeah, I was reading the door, the horrible, horrible cartoon, Drew. We'll look at it during the break.
Okay.
All right. So, Drew, do you got the calls worked out?
Yeah, we're ready to go.
Hey guys, your mic's working? To interrupt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got an engineer over there.
Yeah, you're over modulating. So you gotta sit back for the mic.
His mic was off the whole time. So if they could call me, that'd be great.
Well, they're not here. There's no engineer.
Well, you want me back here?
Yeah, just like that.
Is that good?
Yeah.
All right. You want me to do the whole cartoon on the door thing again?
That's never right. He'll be right back up. Do you guys don't have any potentiometers in front of you or anything?
No. No, we got the clock. It's not running.
But I do love a potentiometer, just for the name.
I use that just for you, Carl.
I love that. Yeah. Yeah. That's why, you know, they use pot up for short. All right, who do you got?
Engineer's in there now.
Who do you got, Drew?
All right, let's try Dustin, who's 21. Or Dustin? Oh, this is going to be good.
Yeah.
Dustin is 21.
Yeah. Hey, what's going on?
What's happening, Dusty?
What's going on, Vicar?
Yeah, the Vicar of Christ. That's my new name.
Vicar, to you.
You are my hero, man.
Thank you.
I've got a question about in September or October, I was having sex with my girlfriend. And,
girlfriend?
It was kind of hard going in. And, a couple days later, after I had, all these little, scabs around it, around my penis.
On the shaft?
Yeah.
All right. Ooh. He's gay.
Yeah.
And, there's one on the top that just hasn't gone away.
No. I don't know. On the top of your penis? I'm sorry. I got to apologize for this chair. It's like, it's
novelty.
It's from Knott's Berry Farm. It's this kind of novelty chair. What is this? I mean, you couldn't
chair.
You couldn't get this much noise out of a chair if you just buried it in sand for 6 years. Just put it out. Just put it out in the in some tidal pool. On the top of your penis, you mean the flat
tip?
Part of your penis,
the,
or that tip?
The tip.
I don't know, like the top, like around where I would have gotten circumcised.
Yeah, it's hard, Dustin. It's very difficult to interpret what you're describing. There's scabs all over the place. One doesn't go at, did it hurt when you originally broke out?
It just
what?
It's like a scab.
Did it hurt when it originally broke out?
Listen, get rid of him. I don't need to help anyone tonight.
That's true, you don't.
Yeah, let's cut the show short.
All right, let's try Shannon, who's 16. Shannon?
Yes.
Well, Dustin needs to go to the doctor.
Somebody needs to see it. If it was a painful outbreak, it's really herpes until proven otherwise.
But they need to see it when it's active, but he's got one.
Bloom, right? It's sort of more accurate to make the diagnosis then, but he's got a little something there, maybe. A dermatologist is actually probably the best place to go. Mm. Shanna, what's going on?
I have been having really bad back pains, so my doctor wanted me to take prenatal vitamins, and I'm on birth control, and I was just going to see if that would affect anything of the birth control.
Prenatal vitamins? No, it's basically iron-containing vitamins. But what about the back pain? Why aren't they evaluating that?
Oh, well, they are, but they just thought that would stop the pain, or ease it or whatever.
No, it will have nothing to do with the pain. But
prenatal vitamins?
Are you having heavy bleeding also?
No.
Really?
Yeah. Birth control.
All right. If you're on birth control and you're having back pain and the doctor tells you to take prenatal vitamins, he's just saying, get out of here.
Yeah.
You have back pain, schmack pain.
Yeah. You need an evaluation.
No, he doesn't believe you.
He's not paying attention or not really evaluating you carefully. Do you come in all the
time? Or he thinks you're an opiate addict.
Right. Have you come in complaining about pain repeatedly?
Yeah.
All right.
For you over years?
Thought that might be something. That's just what he suggested.
That's a placebo.
No. When he opens your file, it's just a big picture of a walnut. it's just true. You have this
no screw in a ball.
No screw in a ball, yeah. It's a screw in a ball or a walnut, or even the combo I like is a screw in the walnut. It's confusing, but, you know, it's kind of a 1-2 punch. True, if you have someone, especially female, complaining of persistent back pain, and you can, you know, you throw her through an MRI machine or you throw an X-ray at her, you don't see anything, and she's not playing, you know, lacrosse at the collegiate level. I mean, you just figure opiate addict or the screw in the ball, right?
You worry about that. You always also worry that even when you're dealing with the screw ball, that you miss something. So she should have an evaluation of the retroperitoneum, the place where the kidneys and the uterus ends up. There are things can happen back there. It can be difficult to detect. So probably an MRI of her abdomen would be a smart thing. Additional MRI of the back.
Get her, pot her back up for a second, as Engineer Anderson likes to say. I just want to see how many times you've gone in there complaining of back pain.
3 or 4 times.
And what kind of workup have you had done?
Oh, he just like massaging it and popping it.
What kind of doctor is this?
Oh, maybe I should have said it was a chiropractor.
Okay, no. That's not a doctor.
Yeah, that's why I gave you prenatal vitamins. Yeah. You're lucky he didn't give you a Zots.
You got to see a doctor if you have recurrent back pain.
He has said that it was mild degenerative changes. And
Shannon, you're 16. Go see a doctor. You can get tumors of the retroperitoneum. You can have pelvic pathology. All kinds of things can refer to the back. Get this evaluated properly before you're having definitive intervention. You need a diagnosis before you can figure out a treatment plan.
Chiropractor is sort of like half doctor, half head shop owner, too. It's not, you're not actually a doctor, are you? What do you do as a chiropractor?
You don't go to medical school.
You're like an herbalist. Yeah. And why is it true? Who decided that everyone who's in the business, like the masseur business, has to be nuts? Why can't a sane person want to just make $100 for rubbing somebody down for 55 minutes? Does everyone have to be all spacey and talk about the toxins that have built up? And it's a bummer, by the way, when they're working on you and they're like, oh, you got, this is your toxin center. It's like, is that attached to me? Yeah, it's in you. Fantastic. You store, and they're such geniuses with you. You have a lot of tension. You store tension in your back. No, I store it in my heel. Of course I store it in my back, you idiot. It's the middle of me. What do you think, I store it in my right eyelid? It's in your back. I could feel it. And by the way, who could ever argue with them?
Right.
No. Tension? No, I keep that in a footlocker at my parents' house.
Right. How'd you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Back off that mic. You're
getting excited. Yeah. Let me tell you this. Just in terms of poor etiquette, the town car guy who spoke way too much today, who I'm delighted with, by the way, but my wife was trying to sleep in the car, but he guy talked twice as much as I did.
Oh, my God.
It was funny. He was talking about Burbank Airport versus LAX, and he goes, Burbank's just a much faster, cleaner way to get out of Los Angeles. I'm like, well, you know, I agree with you, but I'm flying to New York and they don't have any flights. Oh, JetBlue's going to open up like 4 flights starting in May out of Burbank, by the way. So he's talking to Burbank for quite some time.
Really? JetBlue out of Burbank?
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
5 flights in New York coming up soon. Anyway, he's talking to Burbank. And then eventually, after he's talking Burbank up for 20 minutes, I say, well, you know, the reality is, though, when you're leaving at 6 a.m., Burbank is 15, 20 minutes, and LAX is 25, 30 minutes. I mean, you know, when there's no traffic, it's really only about 10 minutes difference. And he goes, yeah, but you're in and out of Burbank a lot faster. The security line is shorter. And, of course, LAX is always the constant terrorist threat. And I'm like, huh? He's like, sure, Burbank's never been targeted for a terrorist attack. They've thwarted many terrorist attacks aimed toward LAX. I'm like, I'm heading for LAX now with my nervous flying wife, you understand? And he just waxes on about all the potential terrorist activity that's going on at the place he's going to drop us off at and speed away from.
Nice.
In just a second, I think, what is that? And it's a thing that guys who drive do. Like, whenever I would fly into Vegas, it'd always be that, where are you in from? L.A. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I lived out there for a while. I couldn't take the gang violence, the corrosive smog, and the impressive. Like, man, I'm going in 9 hours.
You're home.
I have a house there. You understand? Yeah, I know. I couldn't take it with all the gangbangers and volcanoes. It's like, do people think of the guy is driving me to the place where all the terrorist activity is going on, and he's going to, you know, he's leaving the car running. I'm going to head on in and camp out in the place, in the captain's nest.
Nice.
Fantastic. What was I complaining about, Trey?
I know, that we're not taking enough calls. Here's Lonnie, 21.
I wasn't complaining about that.
Oh, maybe I thought of something else. Lonnie, 21.
Hi.
Hey, Lonnie.
My boyfriend and I have been together for probably about 3 years, and we just recently had a kid. Our sex life was great before I had a kid, and now it's just kind of gone. I don't know.
You have no libido?
I enjoy it when we do have sex, but it's gone.
You have no drive to have sex?
Yes.
Is it because of the stress of raising a child, or is it something biological, do you think?
I'm not sure. Like, I...
Well, I'll tell you what. It's very common for women to be completely shut down biologically for up to a year after a baby's born.
Mm.
Now, did you breastfeed, or do you continue to breastfeed?
I breastfed for about 2 weeks. I had flat nipples, so it didn't work for me very well.
Wow. That's a boner breaker.
I'm sorry.
For the child.
Just I'm a mom. It doesn't bother me, so.
I know, but I'm mad. I have to go home and masturbate.
I know.
Now forget about it. No, forget it. are you a big gal?
No. I wouldn't think so, but.
Uh-oh. Kansas.
Who's on the other line? Is there someone on the other line?
No.
Who's
my
breathing?
Daughter, that's my daughter. She's sleeping on me right now.
Oh, she's snoring. I can hear her snoring. All right.
Yeah, she's a snorer.
All right. Does she sleep on her back or on her side?
On her stomach.
No, flip her over. I'm telling you, I flew out from L.A. today. Saw everybody trying to get comfortable, sleeps on their stomach, rolled over on their chairs, head pressed against the window, back bent the wrong way. And everyone who's used to sleeping on their back just spread out, sawing logs peacefully. Teach the kid to sleep on their back.
Well, that's the whole problem with SIDS, though, so.
Oh, you get SIDS on your back?
How do they recommend that?
On your stomach.
On your stomach.
Oh, well, yeah, flip them over.
Yeah. But this is a common thing, and you got to talk to your doctor. Sometimes it's as simple as getting on a birth control pill to sort of rekindle your biology a little bit. And women don't really take into account how common or how intense this biological change is after they have a baby and how common exactly what you're describing is. There are things that can be done about it, okay?
Okay. So he has completely just like, what is wrong with me?
Give him a BJ. How about giving him a BJ?
Oh, no.
Well, look, here's the thing, everybody. Think about all the things in life you do that you don't want to do and weigh that against the things that you do want to do. I mean, when you really start focusing, you know, we really
in terms of preserving your relationship.
Let's talk.
I got some more to talk to.
No, but here's what I'm saying. We don't need her to talk to her.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. Yeah. That's basically how I go into I approach the show that way.
I know.
I don't need them to talk to them.
No, I know.
Here's what I'm saying.
You need them to listen to you.
You take your life. Everyone, listen to me. you take your life and you sort of just break it down, whether it's taking the garbage out or driving the kids to school or carting them off to watch one of their Little League games and like Pico Rivera or something, whatever it is, an anniversary, buying some jewelry for the old lady, whatever it is, 90% of your life, work and otherwise, is just getting up and doing stuff you have to do in order to keep your relationship going, in order to keep over your head, food in the refrigerator. In a way, if you're shut down sexually and your relationship is suffering because of it, once a week give the guy BJ. I know it doesn't feel great to you, but it takes 5 minutes, puts a smile on his face, and you guys don't get a divorce until you work out whatever biological.
That's a reasonable point. Unfortunately, women, when they're shut down sexually, the thought of sex becomes sort of like, ugh, shuddery, and so it's hard for them.
Yeah, but the thought of work to a Corolla is the same thing.
It was worse. Oh, my God.
I even start saying, one time I started to say walk, but the Corollas thought I was saying work, and everyone just shut down. Like,
they shuddered.
Yeah, it's going, no, walk.
And we are talking about preserving relationship, and I guess maybe women don't appreciate how important that is for men. Men start to feel like there's something wrong with them, their wife isn't attracted to them, or that they, you know, they just got all kinds of crazy feelings, not the least of which is they just don't feel good. Mm-hmm. They don't feel attached. They don't feel connected to that person. And that's something you need to pay attention to. But, the other thing is postpartum depression. Any depression up to 12 months after pregnancy is a postpartum depression. That certainly can shut down your libido as well. I'm looking, again, for Discovery Health tonight for couples that had a threesome and ruined their sex life and for men with premature E. call in.
Yeah, let me say this, Drew.
Say it.
Dave Attell is here. Well, we'll talk to Dave, great comedian Dave Attell, after the break, because we're going to go into it right now. But
this is a really interesting call here. A woman got an orgasm from an MRI scan.
Wow. And those things, MRIs are what you would do to someone if you were effing with them.
Well, the older ones, yeah.
Oh, so that's the one I had. Yeah. I had to go in head first into this goddamn thing. Yeah. It was just like a monkey beating a trash can with a wooden spoon.
With your face.
Your face is mashed into it. Talk about getting weird.
Yeah.
All right, let me tell me if you can pick up on this vibe, Drew. back to the guy driving me to the airport today.
Yeah.
So the guy, now, this is a weird thing. I like to talk. Guys who drive town cars like to talk. I'll just usually let the guy talk. But once in a while, somebody gets on to your topic, your wheelhouse.
Right.
But you realize they're talking and they're not really.
They don't.
And it's a weird, frustrating thing.
They don't know what they're talking about.
This guy's like, even if they know what you're talking about, they don't understand that this is your thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So the guy's like, he's on his Burbank. You know, Burbank's great. It's close by versus the terrorist mecca over there known as LAX. But by the way, where I'm taking it.
Right.
And by the way, ironically, trying to make time. We want that bomb to go off before you guys get there. I'll see if I can. I'm gonna jump on La Brea. See if I can get you there before that whole place goes up. Mushroom cloud of fire. It'd be awesome. But anyway, so he's driving there and he's going, you know, I'll tell you one problem with Burbank, the cops.
Oh,
they hand out tickets over there.
And that's, I'm like, your topic?
What? Don't get me started. And he's like, yeah, they are too close. Okay. So he's like, he just keeps going. Now, don't take Hollywood Way because and I'm like, yes, the cops in Burbank, those pussies. Those, by the way, it's not Burbank, it's Rape Bank.
Yes.
They just rape everyone it goes through. And he doesn't hear a word I'm saying because he's talking about Burbank and cops and chicken-ass tickets and all the time. And I just realized it's a weird, frustrating thing when everyone understands the frustration of someone not knowing what you're talking about or someone talking too much. But it's a weird thing when they're talking about your sort of your stock in trade.
Yeah.
Your,
with equal passion?
With equal passion.
Oh, he's usurping your thunder.
No, but they have no idea that that's
thing. It's taking your thunder.
They're not. No. How dare you? How dare you accuse my thunder of being stolen?
How dare you?
No, how dare you? You're speaking to the Vicar of Christ, I might remind you.
Beg your pardon, your Vicarness.
And my point is if it's like if someone had no idea what you did for a living and started talking about addiction medicine, but didn't hear anything you were saying.
Oh.
And you never found out you were an addiction medicine specialist.
They're
just sort of going and they're just getting into every specific thing that you're into but never hear it. It's a weird, frustrating experience.
Yes.
And by the way, dropping you off at
the Mushroom Cloud.
Yeah, Al-Qaeda South, where I'm being dropped off at. All right, should we take a break?
All right.
Dave Attell, the world's funniest comedian, is in studio tonight. We'll take a quick break, and we'll bring him in after this.
Hey, Adam's talking into a mic that ain't working. How about that? Why use this one? Come over here. If we have an engineer in here, that'd be great. Come on over here, Adam. Let's try this one. Test, test.
All right.
There you go. Testing, testing.
Another thing that's amazing is our engineer is a husky guy with a ponytail. Yeah. You don't see that too often in radio. Hey, businessman's lunch. Come on now. Could you grin, drop your lid? Yeah. Got a little of that strip club DJ in him, Ken, our engineer out here. Hey, Ken. What's happening, brother, man? I think one of our mics works and the other one doesn't work. So,
one, two, there it is. Coming back.
Here we go. You got that one.
One, two, three, four.
All right.
We'll go back to this one.
Swan back?
Yeah, here we go.
All right, ready?
And
go.
Go.
Hey.
Ooh,
yeah.
Seamless.
And I'm not over-modulating now?
No.
All right. Well, I'm going to just go ahead and figure that everyone over there in Los Angeles has done their job, and the great Dave Attell is poised at the microphone in Culver City. Dave, is that true?
That's me. What's up, guys? How you doing?
Dave.
Good to talk to you, Dave. Sorry we couldn't be there in person.
I can't believe it. You know, whenever I'm in town, you're never here. And this is like such a shock because that's where I live. I live in New York. We could have done it from my apartment.
No.
Oh, we're going to go do it in your apartment later on, me and Drew.
You're going to...
Beg your pardon.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Dave is... I was saying this. I realize it sounds... disrespectful, but now that Mitch Hedberg has passed, Dave Attell's officially the funniest stand-up. And not that he wasn't before well, Mitch
it's just official.
Passed away.
It's official now.
But it was like, it was a neck-and-neck thing, and now Mitch is gone, and he'll be missed. I was a big fan
absolutely.
Of his.
Yeah, Mitch was... There is a bit of a race to rehab with some of the comics, and I'm probably the Seabiscuit of that crew.
Oh.
But
oh, nice.
In terms of Mitch, for all of his fans and friends and family, it's such a sad loss, and he really was a great comic, and I give him legendary status. I put him up there with Bill Hicks and those guys,
yeah.
Sam Kinison. So,
I
know.
Do, too. If only Drew knew who Bill Hicks was, it would really make that statement more poignant. It really would be poignant.
About Sam Kinison. Eh?
But he knows who Sam Kinison is, yeah. But the thing about it, and I've Drew, as you know, I'm a comedic snob.
Yes.
And that I don't like people. I don't like going outdoors.
Dave hates comedians, and he speaks of you with glowing love.
Dave, there's a lot of guys, I think, and Dave, don't be modest here, but they're people, I'll tell you what, let's speak about Mitch Hedberg, but we'll think of you when you're talking about Mitch, so that way you can be modest. And that way, you know, also get your point across, which is, I think there's a lot of stand-ups out there that just almost approach it like an acting gig. Like, look, I want to do stand-up. I'm going to buy some jokes. I'm going to write some jokes. I'm going to steal some jokes. I'm going to memorize them just like an actor would memorize a monologue.
Right.
And I'm going to go up there and do myself, I'll treat it like a gin rummy handle. Discard a few. I'll collect a few. I'll get a nice tight 20 minutes and I'll make some money. I'll do some traveling. I'll do some cruise ships. I'll do a few appearances on Letterman. And then there are people out there that should be doing it, need to do it, have to do it. That's how Mitch was. That's how Dave is. You know, there's just people, this is what they do, not what they can do, what they should be doing, what they do do.
They actually do it.
And they need to do it, and they should be doing it. Sorry, Dave.
No, that's cool, man, because I know what you're talking about. I like to call them like the 7-minute wonders, where there's guys who work on a tight, like you said, 7, 12, 20-minute set, and then they come to L.A. and, you know, they got these big dreams about, like, you know, I'll do Leno or Jimmy or whatever one time, and then I'll, you know, get my own pilot, and, you know, I'll go from there to movies, and then, you know, somehow it'll end up great, and I'll have that big house and all that stuff. But it's a long process, and along the way, some things, you know, you hit some bumps. One of them is gay porn. And it happened to me. No. So that's, you know, you're right. There's a lot of people that do it to do it, and then there's other people that, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's in us to do it. And Mitch was definitely one of those. And unfortunately, the lifestyle of what you're talking about, as you know, it's not really conducive to, you know,
mental
all
health.
The temptations. Yeah, all the temptations are right out there for you on the road. And you know, it takes a real strong man or woman to, you know, resist.
Well, I mean, you just think about what you do when you travel versus what you do when you're at home. I was drunk at 8:15 this morning because...
You're flying.
I was flying. I got to the airport at 7:30. The flight was delayed 20 minutes. I had put down like 3 highballs by 8:12 this morning. I mean, normally I wouldn't be drunk until 10. Do you know what I'm saying?
You and I are like a generation too late. We're the functional drunks that we grew up with, you know?
Both
like my dad.
Jackie Gleason.
Right. Yeah, like my dad never missed a day of work, and he never missed hitting me, you know, like that kind of drunk. But no, I'm kidding. You know, it's like drinking is my thing. That's my big problem. But yeah, I'm with you, man. It's so hard to resist it, you know?
And imagine, like I said, if
it's
you're...
a new medication for that.
If you're... What is it?
Camprol.
Jesus.
Camprol. I thought he's going to give one of those answers too. Camprol.
Yeah, it's good.
What's
that?
It's a new medication that decreases the drive to use alcohol. You're supposed to take it with comprehensive treatment, but it's very good. It's very effective.
Drink it with booze. And so what do? You take like one in the morning and then have a sensible cocktail?
You have to have 2-3 times a day.
You wean yourself down to Zima.
Wow.
Is it like that? I mean,
no.
You still drink on it?
I'm down to 3 tequisas a day.
You can, but you're not supposed to. I mean, you're missing the point of
that. Will you get sick?
No.
Oh, okay.
It just decreases the drive.
Yeah, I could try and see what it would do. But all I'm saying is normally my booze starts when I get home from the radio at 12:30 at night.
Right.
If I travel, The booze starts 20 minutes after I get to the airport, whenever that is. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't imagine doing it for a living. It'd just be one big long cocktail party.
Yeah.
And also the same with everything that's sort of bad for you. Smoking, eating junk.
Yeah.
Think about the junk you eat when you're strung out and you get up early and you're traveling. You're eating stuff you're not exercising the way you would. I mean, it's a lifestyle that's sort of could erode you physically pretty quickly.
Yeah,
but you love it, Dave.
Yeah, you get into the habit. Like when I was touring with Mitch, it was Mitch and Louis Black, another great comic. And none of us are going to be on Men's Health magazine. I mean, we're just, straight ahead drunks and, we drink and do all that kind of smoke and everything. But we felt for Mitch because he had just come off of one of his bad episodes. And meanwhile, he was still out there doing, 40 minutes and, drinking a little bit, doing whatever he does. And we're like, wow, man, this guy has the tenacity. It's like amazing, but I guess that's part of the addiction. It's like you can always get to do it, but it's stopping is the hardest thing.
Mm-hmm. What did he this is a great comedic interview, by the way. Did he OD, or what actually happened to him in the big picture?
See, I really have, and I'm not holding back or anything, but I will say that I don't know if he OD'd the way we've seen in movies, but he evidently was doing something, and we're waiting on the toxicology to come back about what exactly happened to him. But I will say one thing about the whole drug addiction thing and Mitch, that a lot of people tried to reach out to him to help him, and that comes from, other comics, friends, family, my managers, all these people who knew and loved Mitch. They saw him and they really wanted to get him help. The only person who didn't think he had a problem was Mitch. And I really do believe that he, thought he could control his thing or learn how to do it differently.
Well, and you understand the denial is a defining feature of addiction.
Yeah, Dr. Drew, you can tell everybody that, once he admits he has the problem, that's part of the cure.
Yeah,
and he never got to that point, and it was sad, because he did deserve a second chance. Everybody deserves another chance.
Well, speaking, this is a nice downer. Segue. Speaking of another chance, you want to see Dave Attell this Friday, April 8th. He's going to be at the Canyon Club in Agoura Hills. I got a bunch of other stuff here, Dave, like the Insomniac Tour and that kind of stuff. What stuff do you want to hit?
Well, if we're going to plug some dates, I'll be at the Canyon Club, and then the next day, Saturday, I'll be, Temptation, I'll be at Caesars in Tahoe. So, Adam, have you been there?
Yeah.
That's Tahoe's mountain drinking.
Beautiful. Yeah. Mm. Tahoe's just amazing, by the way.
There's nothing else to do.
Yeah.
It's just drinking and gambling. It is a beautiful place if you can get out of,
Oh, the lake is amazing. And let me tell you a revelation I had over in Tahoe. They don't really have strip clubs in Tahoe.
They don't. Yeah.
But you know what they do have? They got a lot of pent-up women at clubs. They're looking to party. It's almost better than a strip club. It's like a civilian strip club. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's crazy. It is. There's just tons of women around that town from parts unknown that are looking to humiliate current and ex-boyfriends.
Oh, no.
It's awesome. Yeah. But Lake Tahoe is really, it's like 30 shades of blue. Good, Dave. Get on there. Get on one of those boats and take a lap around that lake.
See, now that's something if I didn't drink, I would do. Because, with the drinking.
Too busy drinking.
Yeah. It depends. I have my episodes. But when you drink, you miss a whole day. You can miss a whole day. You're like, oh, man, I got to get up. And then you're like, oh, no, I'll just sleep till the showtime.
Right.
Give a crack at, and not to use an improper term there, but give a shot at recovery?
I'd say that I didn't know this was a intervention.
Yeah, true. This feels like
you guys were so afraid to be violent. You went to New York to tell me.
Yeah, we don't have any business here. We're coming home in the morning.
No, you're right. The thing that sobers me up the most is having to work, and you guys know how it is. Where it's not like a 9-to-5 job. This whole thing that we do, it's like you have to get up for radio promotions at 6 in the morning, and I try and, be a little professional. I had my days where I'd go in, smelling like the night before, and it just got too hard. I'm getting old, so. So I agree with you, man. You're right. We can all learn something from what happened to Mitch, and, I guess moderation is the way to go. It's just hard to
pull it off. If you're an alcoholic, you can't moderate. That's the wish of every alcoholic.
Dave's not an alcoholic, though.
It's a disorder of brain.
I'm a liquid adventurer. Yeah.
The way the drive mechanisms become altered, there's something called a corticotropin releasing factor that becomes enlisted in the amygdala.
All right, come on, the man.
And neuropeptide Y drops down.
You're bumming
around.
And
you can't control it. You just can't.
Here's
Paula, who's 25.
Paul?
Hi.
Is it Paul?
Or Paula.
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 What's
happening,
can you hear
Paula?
Me?
Yeah.
Hi there. I had an MRI today on my knee. And it was a series of six different scans, I suppose. And during two of them, I actually had orgasms.
Wow.
And I was wondering if Dr. Drew could explain that.
You're an alcoholic.
It's great for guys never brought a woman to orgasm via intercourse.
Now we all need an MRI machine in our house.
Yeah, basically, you're at a medical facility knocking them out.
Was it a cold table?
I'm not familiar with. What's that?
Was it cold? Why cold?
Remember
tables
Nicole Richie told us if she sat on a cold surface, she would.
Oh, she sat on her bathroom floor.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It was kind of like a little cut. I was on
All right, I understand. And was it shaking? Is that the what caused
so
the reaction?
I was wondering about that. So, the way it sort of felt to me was like, you know, a very, very high frequency vibration, and that's what I thought at first. But I asked
orgasma ray. just pointed at women.
They actually is a guy. I interviewed a guy that's putting in orgasmic stimulators into the spine.
Uh-huh.
It is certain that we put these stimulators at the what's called the cauda equina, the tip of the spinal column. Women have orgasms when you turn the electricity on.
Nice.
It's weird. Are you multi-orgasmic?
Yes.
Yeah,
right,
so you have them, you just have them all over the place.
It doesn't take anything for you.
Am I the only one who wants to know how your knee is? What did they find?
I don't know until I have a follow up. It's probably not major.
A little fluid.
Yeah, I was also wondering if they were just scanning my knee, would there be anything on the MRI that might have led the technician or my doctor to find out that I was having orgasms the whole time?
No way.
Okay. Yeah.
You screaming at the top of your
that
lungs.
Might give them a hand.
Stop to the technician.
Again.
Yeah.
Right, going back to the scanner at night,
right.
Flicking the switch.
Yeah, you're breaking into the place, yeah.
It's hard to imagine how the magnet itself could have caused this kind of thing. I just don't quite get that. I suppose it's...
Well, Drew, what about the thing where they hooked the probe up to the person's spinal column? How's that work?
That's actually something that has to be slipped up a little electrode into the spinal column.
You put a hole in your skin?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Can't
through,
you just buy a
needle,
vibrator? What,
you
what's
could,
going
yeah.
on?
I know this guy who does pain management noticed that he was putting spinal stimulators in to control pain. These women started becoming orgasmic or having spontaneous orgasms.
Because, like, you see a tongue ring, you know the chick's good to go. But you see the extension cord hanging out of the small of her back. It's like, all right, we're in.
We're good.
Do you have a regular vibrator? Or
never used
really?
One.
She doesn't need to.
See, nope. I think you should get one.
No, she flips on like a fluorescent bulb, and all of a sudden,
she's Amish excited.
She's on, yeah. The toaster oven fires up.
Yes, ma'am.
So I thought it was kind of harder to explain because the technician said that the most important thing for the MRI was for the patient to remain
still.
Completely still. So I thought that it couldn't possibly vibrate. So I was wondering if it was, in fact, the magnet.
I've never heard of the magnet. Maybe it's possible. I've just never heard of that.
Okay.
I suppose it's possible.
Let me float something, Drew.
Yeah.
They always tell women to take more iron. They always say women need more iron than magnet.
No, I don't think so.
Nothing conducts a magnet like iron.
Back and forth.
No, think about it, Drew. Before you just dismiss it and laugh it off,
I'm not
think
laughing
about
it. It's an interesting phenomenon. I just don't
all
see.
All right. No, I'm saying, iron in the blood, right?
No, I know.
Flip the electromagnet on. It starts getting pulled down toward the vagina. Vagina becomes engorged, okay, with blood, thus stimulating.
It's a flipping magnet, too.
Just think about it. Be so dismissive and stuck up. All right, let's take a break. Dave Attell is over there in Los Angeles. Dr. Drew and I are out here in Dave's home turf in New York City. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm the Vicar of Christ. That's Dr. Drew.
Vicar.
Dave Attell is Los Angeles tonight. Dave is now officially the world's funniest stand-up comic.
I like the way Dave doesn't even take a beat with the Vicar of Christ. Like, hey, Vicar, yeah.
Well, my thing is it's, well, I mean, another
you're too kind, man.
Days.
It's embarrassing.
Well, no, I've seen Dave do stand-up on way more than one occasion. He's just an awesome stand-up.
There's a lot of good people out there, but Mitch was that was a big loss for comedy because he was so unique.
Yeah, I mean, he was excellent, but Dave, you would be a bigger loss for comedy. Not for your family, necessarily, but for comedy.
Dave, wait, I got some mortgages.
That is funny.
Dave could be found this Friday, April 8th, at the Canyon Club in the Agora Hills, and then Saturday, the 9th, he's going to be over at Tahoe, right?
Yeah, Caesar's Tahoe.
Caesar's Tahoe. All right, Drew, who are we talking
to? Let's take a nice
to?
Fisting call.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Michelle, 27.
Hi.
Hey.
My question was about, sorry, hold on, excuse me, I'm at work. I got to sneak outside so everyone I work with doesn't hear
this. Where do you work?
I work at, I can't say where I work because I'd probably get in trouble for that, but I'm a caregiver. I take care of people who have Alzheimer's and dementia.
Ooh, do you run an MRI?
Huh?
Sorry. Last call. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay.
And by the way, say whatever you want in front of the people with dementia.
No, it's not them I'm worried about. It's the people I work with. I don't want them hearing this.
Okay, all right. Outside. Let's go on. Right.
Okay,
go
so
on.
Anyway, my question is, I have a really, really high sex drive, and I'm always curious about, you know, exploring new things and doing new kind of stuff. Well, my boyfriend today, we were messing around, and he started to finger me and was using two fingers. And it was kind of a progressive thing where I was like, okay, try another one, another one, another one. Well, eventually it ended up being a fisting situation where... Well,
eventually got to 14 fingers.
Past his wrist. You know, his wrist had gone in there, like maybe an inch or two down from his wrist. Mm, so part of, I mean, the lower part of his arm. Uh-huh. And the thing is, I really, really liked it. So I'm a little sore now.
That's not the love.
Yeah. You're sore,
so I'm concerned that, I mean, is that dangerous? Should I not do that? Is that...
You know, you can cause urethral damage, and you can cause some. You could traumatize the area, but it's sort of meant to stretch pretty good.
Yeah, you know, it's funny if you pulled out the scarves that never ended. just kept pulling the scarves. The drums going away. Just keep pulling out. Are you? Let me give a little math. On radio, we just, you know, it's the theater of the mind. But when I hear, here's the first thing I hear graveyard shift. I hear 20 pounds overweight. Then I hear caregiver. Now we're up to 50 pounds overweight. And then I hear up to the elbow fisting. And now we're about 85 to 90 pounds overweight. Where are you a big gal?
You know, I'm probably close to about 100 pounds overweight. It doesn't really look that way, but
I had you at about 90.
That's we had to do the radio math. You hadn't done that yet.
Yeah, okay. Cool. All right. And, hey, let me ask you something about the caregiving shoes. You guys just can't wear regular sneakers. You have to wear those weird flesh-colored ones. They're sort of rounded off in the front. They maybe have a Velcro strap. They're just creepy.
The white earth shoes.
They're not quite, not an earth shoe, not a sneaker. What is that? Can you guys just wear some Keds in there and stop freaking everyone out?
You know what? I do. I wear Skechers. And then here where I work, we can wear whatever we want, so...
Even pumps, like high heel, you know.
Yeah, I want to hear you coming down the hall.
That would be good for the, you know, the bunch of people.
Yeah, she's got stiletto heels.
Taps.
She's got 100 pounds extra weight on her, and she's wearing a nice stiletto. All right, so what about it, Drew? Is this something that could harm a gal?
Obviously, you could. You're talking about maybe tearing, and again, I worry more about urethral damage and urinary tract infections, that kind of thing. But it's not as though it's the kind of thing, you know, people do this thing, and it's not as though people are entering the hospital daily with vaginal ruptures.
Yeah. But, you know, like, what's in it for a guy? It's like, you know, it'd be like you...
It'd the be story, like I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like you're stretching out your own underpants. Like, you got to go in there in a minute, buddy, with something a lot less than a fist. What kind of strategy? It's like you're giving yourself a wedgie. What kind of strategy
How's that
is this?
Work? Yeah. It was my little thought bubble, as a matter of fact.
It's going to be a huge disappointment when Mr. Penis comes a knocking after the fist leaves, right? It just... here's the thing. I go in with something smaller, like a popsicle stick or something, then the penis seems... A toe, perhaps.
Yeah, a little piggy.
Too big.
Yeah, I know. I go with the little one, yeah. And I cut the nail first because I'm a
Senor
gentleman.
Wences. Senor Wences, what stories he'll tell.
It's all right.
It's all right. All right.
So you say 2 inches past the wrist, huh?
Yeah, well, probably about an inch, maybe close to two, but...
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Drew. Mm-hmm. Is this... He wasn't wearing one of those medic alert bracelets, was he? Like, I'm
Ouch.
A diabetic.
Oh.
All right. Here's the thing, Drew.
Yeah.
How come this works better on a heavy set gal than
I don't
it
know.
Does on a, like,
I
a
don't know.
Minuscule gal?
I don't know, but you're rarely...
more the pouch bigger, the area bigger?
I don't know. Yeah.
Maybe you're not in. You know what I mean? Maybe you're not in. Maybe there's the whole area's inflated, so you're not really in as far as you think you're in.
Maybe. I just don't know. I've rarely talked
to
small women who are into
this.
Check
it out.
Yeah, yeah.
But get back to me.
All right.
All right, so here's the thing. if something doesn't hurt, is it doing damage to you? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. If something doesn't hurt, well, your body, pain is basically there to give you feedback to let you know it's something you need to stop doing.
Right.
Not hurt, things that don't hurt.
I don't trust this guy, by the way. What's he do? He drive a
truck.
Drive a rig?
No, he's a warehouse manager.
Oh, I thought he was a conductor of a philharmonic or something. A picture guy.
Did he fist you overhand or underhand, like lady softball?
Yeah, how's he got?
Well, at first it started out just his fingers going in, and once his hand was in, then he closed his hand and made a fist, and he could turn it and stuff.
All right, so he's working around. You say fist, but you're not really making a fist.
Yeah, it's
more
not
like
a fist.
She said he closed his hand once he was in there.
Yeah, but isn't it sort of like you're trying to? It's like you're trying to fish something out of a vending machine more than it is you're actually trying to kill the machine with your hand.
Well, you can't just give it the right hook.
There's a Kit Kat up there, and it didn't fall all the way down the chute. Now you got to get it.
And then he closed his hand around it, though.
All right.
Yeah.
Was he signing in there? Any kind of sign language symbols or anything?
Yeah.
No. No.
Just
an
okay sign.
Well, here's my point. Who says chivalry is dead?
Yes. Chivalrous. Yes.
All right, where are we? Do we need to take a break?
We need to take a break, yeah.
Dave Attell is in studio tonight. I'll tell you, I could go for a fist and call every show. I really could. It's been a long time. Dave is going to be at the Canyon Club this Friday, April 8th, and then Caesars Tahoe on the 9th, the next day, Saturday. Take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Are we gone?
Ready?
Hey. Hey, everybody. Hey, Dan the engineer, where's that finger thing that I got in a radio so the engineer guy could give me the finger? No, not that one. Yeah, the pointy.
Not that middle finger. No.
Yeah. Like, I grew up watching sitcoms where once every like 15 episodes something to do with radio, and the engineer was so animated with that big finger, you're on, and they would show the meters going, and they'd do that thing where I hold my cup a hand over one ear. You know, how come we never do that thing, Drew, where we cup our hand just over one ear? Remember how Keith Partridge used to sing? He'd be going to the recording studio every once in a while, he'd do the one hand over the one ear.
What was the guy at the beginning of Laugh-In used to do that?
Oh, yeah, Gary Owens.
Gary Owens,
let's do that. Dave, Dave Attell.
Do you mean the big hand,
tonight.
Like the Howie Mandel hand? Is that what you're talking about?
No, not the hand purse.
Oh, okay.
Not a blown-up glove.
But the hand, you know, back in the day when guys would go into the recording session, when it was studio, like when Keith Partridge or Davey from the Monkees would go in and they had to do a ballad, it was always one hand cupped over one ear. And they were singing.
A headphone up to their ear.
Yeah, it was pressing the headphone, but it was like they were caressing themselves, too.
Yes.
You know, it was very...
It was like they were hearing the ambient noise and then the focused
But it
sound.
Was like, girl, and the hand was up there, and it was very... Yeah. It was moving. I miss it. Drew,
they don't
do that
on American Idol anymore. I mean...
No, there's no...
Yeah.
They don't do that. All right, let's do that, Drew, and let's get the engineer to give us a finger.
Oh, he's gone.
Dave... Good. Dave Attell is here, the world's funniest stand-up. I saw Dave in when I was in San Francisco.
That was fun
many
times.
Years ago, about 5 years ago, doing some just fantastic work, and then many other times, of course, since then. Yes, Drew.
I'm looking for people that have had threesomes and that has screwed up their sex life, and men who have premature E.
Nice.
And diabetic males who... didn't take care of their diabetes, now having erectile problems.
Dave, by the way, can be found at the Canyon Club in Agora Hills coming up this Friday, and then Caesars Tahoe on Saturday. And I was talking to Drew while we were taking a long walk to get some coffee about how this dog is the best thing I ever did. Because
And I showed Adam Dan Rather's chair.
Yeah, it was nice.
Oh, really?
I sniffed it. Yeah, yeah. It smelled newsy. My my wife used to always want to go on vacations. Actually, my wife doesn't want to go on vacations until she hears other a-holes bragging about.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we went to Vanuatu. Oh, no, we got a cabana. And then my wife starts going, why aren't we going? How come we're, you're always working on your, we're never going. So she gets all into that. And then we have to go on these vacations. And it's never a good time. And it's expensive and all this stuff. But I realized I just got a dog about 6 months ago, and she doesn't like to go on vacations because she doesn't like to leave Molly alone. Now it's like, what's Molly doing? And then it's all this speculation. Do you think Molly knows where we're going?
She announced that she does know.
Molly doesn't think we're coming back, yeah. And I play into it. No, she thinks we've abandoned her. Yeah. Molly's trying to OD on some kibble or something right now. We should get back as soon as possible. So now she doesn't want to go anywhere. Which is
that's
awesome.
Good, man.
That's good. You got a woman who doesn't want to go on vacation. Save yourself some Suris and some money. but she's always wondering about the dog. But I was thinking, I told her this, and maybe it was a mistake. But she's always wondering. Like she's always saying to me, who's Molly like more? And what about Molly?
Yeah.
And Molly,
who's Molly like more?
You scare Molly when you do this, and Molly. I keep saying, it's a dog. It's a dog. She does not thinking about anything. No, Molly knows about this. And I said to her, look, if here's the deal. If you were sitting, here's the deal. If Hitler was on a sofa. And you were on the other end of the sofa, okay?
Molly would treat you both the same.
No, no.
Oh.
Hitler has my severed head under his arm. You're frantically calling Molly's name, but Hitler has a playing card with peanut butter smeared on it. You want to know who Molly's going to?
Oh, yeah.
Going right over to the dictator.
Oh, yeah.
Severed head just bleeding right for Hitler.
You need to have kids, because then that dog will become a dog again.
Well, see, then I don't want that now, because then
no more vacations, though, with the kids.
You can't really leave the kids alone.
But I'm already working that angle with the dog. It was awesome, because we're out here in New York, and I was like, well, we're leaving Wednesday, we'll come back Friday. And then when she found out 2 weeks ago, she's like, well, why are we coming home so early? Why aren't we staying the weekend? Why aren't we doing some shopping? Why aren't we having a good time? Then on the plane out here, I was like, you already miss Molly. And she's like, yeah. And I said, you're glad we're coming home Friday. She's like, yeah, I miss her already. See how that works, Drew?
Awesome.
All right. Now, don't any of you idiots tell her this if you see her or talk to her or any of that. I don't need any of that
crap. By the way, we had a weird night tonight with a ton of celebrity sightings.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to forget.
You got to count me.
Liam Neeson walked out of our hotel.
Robin Williams
in our hotel.
Wow.
Lindsay Lohan tripped in front of our car.
Mm. Cool.
Hi.
Weird.
I saw John Stamos
tonight.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
What's going on in this town?
What do you think we're in Baton Rouge? We're in Manhattan, you idiot.
That is a good whatchamacallit, grouping of celebrities. Liam Neeson, Lindsay Lohan. Pat Morita, some scientist. Got a bit of a celebrity poker thing going there.
John Stamos, what couldn't you get done with those four celebrities? Sitcom, movie, dramatic, comedy.
Right.
It's all covered, buddy. All right, let's take some phone. And then you add Dave Attell to the list.
Huge night.
Oh, it's mad world.
A non-sighting.
Let's take a call.
By the way,
through.
That movie.
Mad World.
That is a great movie.
But all television actors.
Yeah, there was guys that weren't.
Who?
Jimmy Durante was in it.
Okay.
All right.
For a few seconds, though.
Right.
I mean, it was Phil Silver.
Spencer Tracy
was in it.
Again, for a few seconds. But the movie was about a bunch of television actors never been in a film before. Think about it.
Well, really? Probably not. Yeah.
It was the Pootie Tang of that generation.
That says it right on the poster.
It sure does.
How they knew a movie called Pootie Tang would come along 45 years later, I'll never know. But it was a ballsy move, and they went for it.
Dick Shawn was in it.
Dick Shawn.
Oh, he was great.
I'm coming, Mama. Yeah. All right.
He was
great.
Let's
take some calls, Drew.
Lisa, 18.
Lisa?
Been on hold about 80 minutes.
Uh-oh.
Lisa, you there? Lisa? Caller who goes by Lisa?
All right. Go to the next call.
All right. This is Amanda,
23. Hi.
Hey.
Hi. I have a few questions for you.
Well, I guess I should tell you a little bit about it first. I've been seeing this guy for about 3 months now. And the first time that we had sex, we used a condom. And afterwards, we were just having, like, pillow talk, you know, and I asked him if he had ever had sex without a condom, and he said no. And I was like, well, we'll have to fix that, you know. And so I got on birth control.
Wow.
And after, like... So we when I give him head, like, there's a lot of pre-cum, you know? And I didn't think it would matter, but, like, when we're having sex, it gets really wet, you know? And, like, I don't think I'm feeling as much as I could, you know, because it's so, like...
And you think that's from what comes out of him?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean...
No, that's you. That's you.
Yeah.
Really?
I don't know. I'm thinking that maybe it's because he's always had sex with a condom on, and maybe that, like, helps, I don't know, helps it feel better for him with a condom. Or I don't think it's me.
I mean, you think he's ejaculating in you?
Well,
and then continuing to have
no,
intercourse?
No. I think it's just pre-cum. Because, like, when I give him head, I can tell there's, like, a lot of pre-cum.
First off, let me tell you something, speaking from experience. A little pre-cum goes a long way.
In your mouth.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
On drapery, fabrics, everywhere, Drew. Car washing, headliners, everywhere. You know what I'm saying?
A little dab will do you.
Oh, dab will do you in the neighborhood. Yeah. So what seems like a, you know, relish tray of goo coming out of them is really nothing more than, you know, a small half a tablespoon at the most.
And that's not going to make... And that's not going to give you such intense lubrication that you're not going to be able to feel things.
Yeah, you're
it also makes me wonder how the anatomic fit's going on for you, too.
Mm.
Well, I don't know. He says that it chafes him. Like, it kind of hurts him. I mean, I don't know. I thought, well, I don't want to have to go back to condoms, you know. I just got on this birth control. And
you didn't answer my question about the anatomy that you two share.
He's octagonal shaped, and she's oblong.
She's like a cylinder, sir.
Right. I'm sorry, like I can't hear very well on my cell phone.
Okay, well, let's try to figure this out. Are you guys boyfriend and girlfriend?
Yes.
And you're in love?
Sure.
there's a little something cooking here. What's going on?
I don't know. He's a manager at a same store that I work at. We both work at coffee shops. Ooh. But he works at a different one. Uh-huh. And he comes in every once in a while, and we...
Cool. Yeah, he's just having a good time. He might not look at you as his girlfriend.
Well, so am I.
No, Amanda, you just said you were in love with him.
Yeah, you're into him.
You said you were in love, Amanda. What kind of denial is that?
No, I didn't say that.
You said that. Yeah, sure, I'm in love with him. He would never say anything like that. He's just having sex.
Yeah.
Is he married or something?
No.
Huh?
No. He has two roommates.
Uh-huh.
Male roommates?
Uh-huh. What?
All right. But you don't trust him completely, do you?
It's not her boyfriend.
What's there to trust?
You don't trust him completely, do you?
Well, we've only been together for 3 months, you know.
Wait, what's there to trust? She said they hook up when he comes by to examine the coffee house.
Wow. Oh, really? Is that call your thing?
No.
I used to use that code for oral, too. Hills Brothers buyer, I'd bang on the door. Yeah.
So
all right. I don't listen. You what's her name, Drew?
Amanda.
Amanda, you sound a little confused, a little naive. You sound like you're in a little over your head, and you also sound like maybe you're scared to ask the important questions of this guy. Like, hey, what's up?
They can't even get close. Did you guys even date?
Yeah.
We do date.
Well, we still do. Yeah.
Yeah, they walked her over to refill the Splenda hopper one time. That was
Splenda
it.
Splenda hopper, yeah.
All right.
No,
all right, look,
no. We
here's what you need to do. All right, if you guys, first thing you need to do is make sure you're committed to this guy, make sure he's committed to you, and talk, and make sure you're having a relationship.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that I want that. I mean, I'm having fun, and I think
you're not. No,
Amanda, please. Who are you kidding? are you kidding?
You're having fun because you believe that if you did ask him you're not going to get the answers that you wanted.
No.
Yes. No. Who are you kidding? Where's your dad? What did he do to you?
My dad's probably at home sleeping.
Uh-huh. And at home...
He smokes pot. He's smoked pot my entire life. He's like a retard.
Cool.
So, yeah, it's great.
He's neglectful. Yeah. And so you have intimacy problems.
Yeah.
Swore you'd never get close to another man.
No, man,
that's what's going on.
Hey, that's how it happens.
All right, baby. Look, I know you're laughing the whole thing off, but you have some intimacy issues.
You're
going
to have to look into
feel
this.
Them.
Yeah, you have to look into this. This is not a laughing matter.
And as far as the sex goes, try a little lube or see what... I know already you're
problem.
Lubricating. It's
too
not lube. Him, though. It's not his copious amount of pre-cum.
Okay.
Were you
sexually
pre-cum.
Abused, Amanda?
Uh-uh.
At
no,
some point?
No, not at
no,
all.
You have no, you have no abuse or anything like that?
No, my mom was by her stepdad, but not me at all, ever.
No, that's not really abuse.
You know, but what? By the way, that mom usually brings in an abusive dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, she had a troubled past, but we're really close.
All right. Can I ask just a question for me? Did you guys ever have sex at work, like since you both kind of work together?
No.
Why not?
Well, he works at another store.
Oh, okay.
I mean, we've never worked together or anything, but he is a manager, so we can't really tell anybody, you know,
right.
He's a manager at another store.
Hey, let me ask you a question. I'm usually pretty good with those tip jars, but... Then someone got me a gift certificate, one of those credit card type gift certificates,
right.
Or like Starbucks or the coffee, tea bean, and leap sack or whatever. And I realized I never tip when I pull those things out because you hand them the card and they hand them back to you.
Yeah.
That does. You guys got to hate those things, right? Those cards,
that's
there's
chafing.
No tipping with those things.
No, not really. I don't see it like that. I mean, if people tip us, that's cool. If not, I mean, they get the same treatment. You know, I don't.
I know they get the same treatment, but you're bringing home less money the more those that get used, right?
Well, we divvy out our tips every week, depending on how many hours you work that week.
Right, and you used to have $500 to divvy up, and now you have $280 to divvy up, is what I'm saying. Thanks for the great answers, by the way.
But here's the point. It's what she's saying is it's the difference between getting $350 and $275.
Right.
Yeah. Mm.
It's divvied up amongst 50 people.
All right.
Yeah, it doesn't really bother me either way.
It's not amount.
I love my job. I love where I work, so I'm just happy either way. If people come,
all right,
cool.
Good.
Wow.
You need to get clear with this guy about what you're doing here. And your fear of what his response might be is what's preventing you from going in deeper. So you got to do it.
Yeah. The whole manager thing, we always talk about it in terms of managing a restaurant and what just...
Coffeehouse is the new version of that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Endless
I worked at a restaurant one time, and my manager had worked at a strip joint before he started working there. So I guess he was used to like fooling around with people, and I don't know. He was flirting with me and stuff. And now I have, like, we did our thing, you know. And now I have like I'm attracted to people in authority, you know.
Wow.
Huh?
No, Amanda, that's not
good.
That, you already had that problem. That's why you hooked up with the manager at the restaurant. And by the way, all managers at restaurants do that, not just the ones that have been at strip clubs.
Yeah.
And the fact is, the reason you have that attraction to the authoritarian male is because you didn't have a father.
Let me tell you what I'm going to tell my son. As it stands now, I'm just talking to my dog. But when I have a son, I'm going to say, listen, son, you either get a gig where you make some money, or you get a nice poontang gig, like
strip
managing.
Yeah,
no, you don't have to. See, that's the whole thing. You don't have to do it.
Oh, I see. The restaurant. Manage the restaurant.
You manage the restaurant. It's the greatest job ever because, A, you don't have to have any brains to manage a restaurant. B, the pay is pretty decent. C, there's a never-ending flow of hot young hostesses and servers all blowing in, all coming through the door, and they're all counting on you to make their shift for them.
But you see,
work out the schedule for
them. Amanda's a great example about how these guys that go for the women for whom they are responsible, how exploiting them perpetuates their pathology.
Yeah.
It really cements in their problems.
Yeah.
That's why it's so bad for them.
Yeah, and yes, she... whenever Dave... And I know it just sounds like we're Squaresville over here.
No, I'm with you 100%.
We've been doing this show long enough to know that whenever we hear a chick go, oh, no, I'm just in it for a good time. I'm just having a fun time, too. It's just kicks. I mean, I'm horny. I'm using him.
Yeah.
And 99.9% of the time... She realizes that if she ever asked him the question, what's up with us, will you commit, I'm looking for a more stable relationship, he'd be out of there. And that's why they don't bring it up. So they, instead of asking the tough question, of course the answer is going to be no, they talk themselves into this lifestyle, and it's not them.
Right.
That's her thing. It's like, oh, we're just having a good time.
Yeah. Nonsense.
Right. But where are those chicks?
Yeah, I know. Really. I was thinking.
There's two chicks I missed in my life. I missed that chick who's just, hey, baby, I'm just going to nail you twice a week.
And?
And
the one that beats the hell out of the girl you cheated with.
Yeah. I'll kill her.
Yeah.
Listen, baby, I got a problem.
That's pretty good, too.
The fisting one.
Missed that one.
I'd like all three of them rolled up into one.
Yeah.
One
nice
sandwich wrap of a woman.
Buffet.
She'd be 800 pounds, but she'd be kicking ass. Taking fists.
Well, let me ask you something.
Taking fists, yeah.
Dr. Drew, how come it's never like there's no male version of that? Like, men aren't really attracted to women in authority, you know? I mean, there's no whatever.
No,
you're right. Men, one of the things about men is that they have appetite of response. They drive response to visual stimuli. And women don't really have that. Their drives are activated by other things, psychological issues, intimate dialogue, need arousals and attractions built on very traumatic histories. And so that's what triggers their appetites. For men, they see something they like, and pow, then they're going after it.
And also, Dave, I think men, contrary to popular belief, we're looking for targets of opportunity. We are like the hyenas in the bushes. We're looking for the gazelle that's injured. We want to pounce. The woman who's running the company, this is potential trouble for us. Nail the hot temp.
Yeah.
So much easier. She's in, she's out, she's stupid. She looks the same, except for we can get in her pants. It's none of, you know, we don't have to deal with it. It's like a shark will go after a fish that's wounded much sooner. It's not going after a swordfish. It could get stabbed. You know what I mean? It will if there's nothing else around, but it's in nature, you go after the lame one. You go after the injured one. You go after the weak one.
The women.
That's why I go after the handicap.
Right, of course.
And physically, mentally, whatever.
Right. The women hate a male that's injured. That's when they're fat.
Right.
Ugh, fooey.
Yeah, they're not into that.
Yes.
Men hang back, look for an easy target, and pounce. And if you don't believe me, it's like this. Male and the female break up. The woman goes out to a bar. Her self-esteem's at all-time low. She's feeling pretty down. Sends up a flag saying, I'm a wounded, you know, little fun. Somebody help me. Guy starts circling like buzzards. Pick right up on guy, believe me, I spent half my life in this posture.
Condition.
Yeah, you're going out. It's like, oh, man, just had my heart broken. I've been screwed over. It's like, you got the stink of failure on your brother.
Right.
And even chicks who you could have formerly picked up, not having anything to do with you, have the stink of failure on
you. What was that couple you went up to? You said that one time you were horribly shy.
I was out with Canyon at the Canyon Club. I was in Agora.
Yeah.
I swear to Christ. I was with Dave. Dave Attell's going to be performing that Friday night. You can still smell my rejection in that
the train wreck.
Close your eyes. So I got dumped by my girlfriend. And, you know, I wasn't, I was probably, I don't know, 24, 25. I was swinging a hammer for a living. I was in good shape. I wasn't bad looking. And I had plenty of attractive women in the past. And I went out there with my buddy, the Wheeze. And his folks were out of town. They had a house up in the hills. So we're like, look, I need a confidence builder. We need to go to this dive in Agora, and we need to get ourselves a few drinks, and let's just scrape up anything that walks into the place. We'll bring them back to your parents' place. We'll have a good time. I'm just, I'm looking
rebound.
For, you know, yeah, you know what I mean? I'm like a fighter that has been savagely knocked out. I need a tomato can to pad my record. I need someone I can just walk through. I need a victory, basically.
Yes,
I'm not looking for Roy Jones Jr. here. I just want a W.
Right.
And so we go. So we're tooling around the place, and I find a couple of women that look like slugs. Like, they're heavy set. They got hooked noses. They're clearly together. They have no boyfriend. They got nothing cooking. And I say, these two will be easy pickings. There's not going to be any great shakes if we get them naked, but what the hell? Let's booze it up and have a good time. And I walk over to them, and I'm like, hey, ladies, mind if I sit down? And one of them looked up to me, and she said, why? And I thought, wow, I must really stink of failure. Because this chick would have been easy pickings if I had the girlfriend from 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
No problem. But she sees I'm wounded. She sees I'm desperate. Nah, not going to have nothing to do. I raped her in the parking lot.
Oh.
Funny story. But No, we got nothing, and I went home, and I really, first off, I want to kill myself, because I'm like, wow, now I've really bottomed out. But second, and look, I'm not trying to be a pig, but as a human being, you know the people you can get and the people you can't get.
Sure.
And then the people who'd be happy to have you and the ones you'd be happy to have. Let's face it. You go into a bar, and you divide up the room. It's like, she'd be lucky to have me, I'd be lucky to have her, and then there's a small group in the middle we'll call the push. We'll both be unhappy. That's the way I look at it. Not both satisfied, both miserable. Both feel like we failed.
But, both at par.
Yeah, but both at par. It's kissing your sister. It's like tying. But the point is when you go up to one of those people who you know, all right, this person would be lucky if I'm talking to them, and they tell you to hit the bricks, that means you got the stink on you.
Well, and that's what women do. They sense that stink of failure, and they will have none of it.
Right. Mm.
And then there's some guys they present to. And what's that?
I don't know.
What is that?
I don't know. All right, let's take a break. Dave Attell is here in Los Angeles. I should say there in Los Angeles. We're out here in New York. He's going to be out in Agora at the club I got dumped in at the Canyon Club.
Yeah, it's
going
to be good.
Yeah,
I'll do a reenactment in your honor.
Please do.
I'll play all the parts.
Also going to be in Caesar's Tahoe on Saturday the 9th. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, buddy. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Dave Attell is here tonight. I realize Dave's name is sort of like P is Adora. You don't really know where one stops and the other one begins. Like,
that's a great analogy.
He is the P is Adora of stand-up comedy, everybody. I thought her name was P is Adora. Yeah, for I didn't know it was Pia Zadora. Whenever you hear her name, it was P is Adora. And I thought Dave Attell. I always thought it was Dave Vattel.
Right.
Dave Vattel.
Yeah, your parents were idiots for naming you something that ended with a V.
Yeah.
See, it could have been, if they named you Rob, it would have been easy. Mm-hmm. It would have been Rob Attell. That would have worked. But instead, it's Dave Vattel. Doesn't make sense.
They always call me, they would call me David. And I always hate that name because that name is, to me, is like a real, like an adult, you know, like a lawyer or something, you know, like a dentist. And, you know, I never felt I lived up to the id part of the name there. So,
no,
just go
you're
Dave
barely
Attell.
A Dave.
Gives it a little, you know, quickness to it, you know.
No, it works, and it's nice in the, syllable department. But I think a lot of people think your name is Dave Vattel.
Vattel.
Drew did, by the way.
Well, there's a lot of guys. There's, of course, Dave Chappelle, who's great.
Right.
And then there's Mitch Vattel, who's another guy.
Yeah,
so there's a lot of, you know, similar sounding stuff.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's why I'm going with the Vicar of Christ.
Nothing sounds like that.
No.
King of Pain.
Heather, 17.
Heather, 17 is on the phone. Heather?
Hi.
What's up?
I was calling because I had a question about, like, because I know how you're talking about how, like, molestation messes up, you know, kids when they're younger and everything, and how it messes up, like, the sexual preferences as they get older and they tend to like things that are bad for them as far as relationships and everything. And I was, molested by another little girl. She was only 2 years older than I am, and it was when I was 9. But I don't think she really realized what she was doing, and I think her father, did some really freaky stuff with her,
Well, child-on-child sexual abuse is pretty common, so what has the consequence been?
I had, a really bad boyfriend when I was younger. I got with him when I was 14, and he was 21, and I stayed with him for 2 years.
Yeah, boy.
Wow.
Yeah,
where were your parents and all that? Why'd they allow that?
It's creepy, unless you're from a different country, in which case we can't judge.
But how did your parents allow that?
My mom was an alcoholic growing up. I have a dad, and he's actually a really good dad, but he chose to close his eyes and let me go off with my mom. And we spent 2 years pretty much strung out on crank from the time I was 12 to the time I was 15. So,
you were strung out on crank?
Yeah, I lived with my mom and my boyfriend, and they were both abusive to me. And
Heather, this is a full-blown catastrophe. Your dad is gone. You may like him.
He's a great guy.
I understand you may like him, but he was gone when you needed him. Your mother was a drug addict. Your boyfriend was a drug addict and a criminal.
Yeah.
You're an addict and evidently not in recovery right now. I mean, this is a very seriously disturbed situation.
I am in recovery now after my mom got evicted from her apartment, and my boyfriend went to jail. I had no choice but to go back with my dad, and he said the only way I could live with him is if I stopped using drugs. And so
that's good.
I've been in rehab now. I've been clean, like, off crank for over a year now, and, like, I'm still going to therapy and everything. Like,
well, that's good.
All right.
But we don't talk about the sexual aspects of it. And
why?
Because, I don't know, it's just weird. I don't like talking about it. I mean,
you're now seven. Think about this. You're 17 now. Think about what kind of a-hole the 21-year-old is that would be with a 14-year-old. And you're not even just think of an a-hole 18-year-old with a 14-year-old.
I know.
Think about how big of an a-hole that guy is. How seriously.
He was really messed up in the head.
So. Yeah, seriously sick criminal.
All right, miss him?
I do.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Is that the kind of guy you're looking for again? Or
do you realize it's bad news? After I got clean, like, I didn't date anybody for over a year, and then I met a really great guy, and he's really good to me and everything.
Oh, like, good.
It makes me feel guilty because I, in a way, he was really mean to me, like, during... And now this guy's really sweet to me, and it's all
Hold
like,
on a second. Anderson, did you catch the S word there?
Anderson? Uh-oh.
Anderson's taking a leak right now.
Uh-oh.
All right. Well, what are you going
to
do?
No, when you guys do that, I'm dealing with it, and I can't talk to you and deal with it.
Okay.
All right.
So I don't.
But here's couple of thoughts. One is good for you. You're sober.
But the sexuality, when you're sex and somebody's kind to you, it exposes you to the shame you've been feeling. At least when people treat you like crap, you can sort of attach yourself to that bad self and then feel sexual. But it's hard for you to feel sexual when you realize that you're disconnected from parts of yourself.
Right. The other part of this is considering all the crack abuse and horrible mothering and dad. I know dad's a great guy. Just chose to turn a blind eye to all the abuse you were suffering. To me, it would downgrade him from a great guy to good guy. You know, because a great father doesn't turn a blind eye to his daughter's suffering and being sexually and physically abused. That's just a good dad. I would downgrade him to good. The other thing is, this new guy, he doesn't need to know all the details about this guy burning you with a crack pipe he filmed you guys in, reverse cowgirl position. Yeah. That's just going to freak him out.
Mm-hmm.
Just let him have, it's like, your adolescence and your childhood was taken away from you, in a sense. Mm-hmm. Let the new guy have his.
Mm-hmm.
Let him just date a teenage girl, and you guys just have a relationship. Meanwhile, you have your therapy to do. You have your recovery to do. That's fine. When you guys get together, see if you can just enjoy each other as 17-year-olds enjoy each other. And the abuse that you were asking about with the 11-year-old when you were 9, probably the least of your worries how you function sexually.
Right. The abuse is from mom and from the a-hole boyfriend.
Yeah, the girl-on-girl stuff when you're both young and it just happened once or twice. And you're looking at your rap sheet, this is you stealing some hard candy.
Right.
Yeah. Right?
Right.
All right.
Carlissa, 20.
Carlissa.
Hi, guys.
What's up, Carlissa? What's happening?
Is Dave still there?
Yeah, what's up, honey?
Hey, I saw you guys in Vegas on your last show for the tour.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was awesome. I think you stole the show, but it was so great because Mitch and everybody was so cool. They were like, we were all their friends, and they were kind of talking to us and joking around. It wasn't really a show. It was more like all of us hanging out, you know?
Yeah, it was a great show, and that was the end of the tour. And by the way, I'm going on another live stand-up tour with Comedy Central starting April 20th. And you can check, like, the web, Comedy Central's website for dates. But we're going to end again in Vegas on the 4th of July with me and a couple other comics. So it's going to be a good time again. So thanks very much, and thanks for coming to the show.
Yeah, you're welcome. One question, probably the doctor can answer this. Every once in a while, I'll have extreme pain while having sex with my longtime boyfriend. And it seems like the back of the vaginal canal is like closing in, and my cervix, I can feel it really loud or something. And
really loud,
sure.
It makes it
screams out. Well, have you ever been checked for endometriosis?
Neighbors would call the cops.
Or ovarian cysts.
Once in a while, girlfriend I had when her cervix would close.
Ever had any been checked for any of these things?
Not recently, no. But there's. I also have IBS, and my intestines are kind of messed up too. But
it's not that.
What's IDS?
I have irritable bowel syndrome.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Come on. Have you learned anything from Kelsey Grammer's wife? And by the way, if my wife was like, look, I got irritable bowel syndrome, all right. I got to educate the world. But, sweetie, go up in the room and think about it.
Your diarrhea.
Yeah, we ain't going on a tour while you're leaving a trail all over town.
Your diarrhea and stool incontinence.
I don't need Howard Stern doing 45 minutes on you every morning. Please, get back in the room and take a crap.
No, I know it's a big joke and all, but for me, it's like extreme pain, makes me want to die kind of pain. I don't know if anyone else has that, but...
Grammer's
wife has it.
You talking about when you have sex or from the irritable bowel syndrome?
Both.
All right. Well, were you sexual?
Let me say this. Having vigorous sex with someone who has irritable bowel syndrome is like when you're eating one of those puffer fish.
Yeah.
You got to be very careful. It's like a loaded handgun. Yeah, it could go off. You're not a sexual partner. You're part of the bomb squad.
You need a tarp.
At this point, I'd get the robot to have sex with her. I'd just work the robot from behind the shield. I'm going to be behind the van. Robot's going to have sex with you, sweetie pea. I don't need any trouble.
Carla said, do you have other pelvic pain besides during intercourse?
Just what I said before, but something also afterwards, it hurt for 3 days. It hurt to send out. My stomach was swollen, and it hurt to pee and other stuff, and...
Wow, you want to go? You want to try to feel out the sexual abuse part?
Yeah,
Carlissa, any sexual abuse?
No. Absolutely not. No.
Really?
Why do I not believe that?
I don't believe it either. When did you lose your virginity?
When I was 18.
And where's your dad?
He lives in Northern California. He wasn't. Yeah. Around father, that's what you want to...
How come?
Parents got divorced when I was a kid. He just came down for, like, weekends and stuff out of the year. Great guy and everything, but...
Why were they divorced?
He's a drug addict and alcoholic.
Okay. All right, by the way. Now, drug addict alcoholics, you know, sometimes do funky stuff to their kids or have friends that do bad stuff to their kids.
See, he wasn't around enough to even do that. It was, I don't know,
I can't come back on the weekends.
Right? Huh? You were what? Very what?
I was a very sexual repressed little girl, though, growing up Christian. So I don't know if that has anything to do with it.
Well, there's definitely, you know, growing up, with the fear of God instilled into you and then having a junky dad who would come around on the weekends and confuse you is enough to sort of get the stomach acid churning. Yeah.
All right, but
there's things going on. I mean, here's what we've learned, or at least I've learned from doing this show, that everything that affects your stomach and half the things that affect your vagina just sort of come from the antenna up in your skull.
Yeah.
When we talk to people that are having a lot of pelvic pain and a lot of stomach this and a lot of that, usually folks that had, you know, less than a great childhood.
Well, really heavy trauma. We're talking about trauma.
Yeah.
And trauma does affect the wiring in your brain growing up. There's absolutely no doubt about that.
And it's not to say that it's not pain, but what is pain? I mean, especially the stuff that's happening in your guts, you know?
So the irritable bowel syndrome needs its own form of treatment. You need an evaluation to see if you have endometriosis. You're sort of a setup for endometriosis and or ovarian cyst. But recurrent pelvic pain that's unexplained is sort of sexual abuse until proven otherwise. So there may be something more here than you're telling us. So.
Well, just having a junky dad is grounds for therapy.
You're going to tell us something more?
How do I put this nicely on the radio? I used to masturbate with a hanger, if that may be something.
Oh, that's...
No, doesn't that.
How old were you when that started?
When I was a little girl.
Wood or metal?
Carlissa, that's a sexual abuse symptom.
Really?
Somebody did something to you. That is not a normal behavior. You need to look. Putting things up yourself that normally don't go there is something because somebody else... It's not funny. It's because somebody else did that to you. Somebody did some weird stuff to her earlier.
What if hangers?
And that's where the pelvic pain comes from.
What do you do? What do you do with that hanger? I mean, how do you do that? Do you undo it?
I just needed something long to hit the back, I guess. I don't know.
No. Carlos, this is very disturbed stuff.
Well,
this is very disturbed stuff.
So maybe this is...
And maybe you hurt yourself with some of this stuff, too. Who knows?
Yeah. I can picture her mom, like, walking in and going, we either have a very disturbed daughter or she's locked her keys in her vagina.
Yeah.
it's one or the other. No, I would choose denial and go to
You need to get some treatment, my dear. This is serious
stuff.
Come on,
baby. And by the way, who are you talking to when we say something's up with you? And you don't tell us about the whole mommy dearest thing with the vagina.
And the drug addicted dad. I mean, this is really serious stuff, Carlissa.
My dad wasn't around me. He didn't bring the drugs around me.
Before he left, something happened. You may not remember it. But something happened here,
and
your behavior is some sort of traumatic compulsive repetition of that, because that is a completely abnormal behavior for young girl.
Look, therapy, baby, not for us, for you.
No, that's cool, but you're saying it's unnatural for a young girl to masturbate
with a hanger inside her? That is what happens is somebody else put something in you, and that set up a compulsion to do the same thing over.
Yeah,
over.
Wow. You want to use something else in a closet, like one of those shoe stretchers.
Yeah,
that's a different.
You weren't masturbating, Carlissa. You weren't masturbating.
Juggling,
compulsively putting things inside you, and that is a way of trying to master something that somebody else did to you.
All right, here's the point. It can't be normal to do that with the coat hanger. It's obviously aggressive.
It's dangerous, right?
Oh my!
And here's, unless your vagina was in a cast, and
you're just
getting
it
itchy.
Yeah.
True. Can you put a vagina in a cast? Let's do it. All right, here's the thing. Everyone listens to this show, and it's like, look, somebody calls. They got a little problem with lubrication. You guys got to start off with where's the dad, and you got to start up with the molestation. Cut her a break. She asked a question, give her an answer. But our answer is not going to help her unless we get to the root of the problem.
Right.
And we could hear it in her voice.
Yes.
Something was up. And then, the first thing is, no, I lost my virginity when I was 18.
No.
There's much more
here. She may not have been de-virginized as a child, but somebody put these drug addicts will put things in kids and stuff. Do weird stuff, and that's what happened to her.
All right. Dave Attell. Hey, good times, though. Dave Attell's going to be the Canyon Club over in Agora Hills, everybody.
I don't think I can top that hanger story, though. That's a rough one.
You just tell the story about me getting dumped over there 15 years previous. And then at Caesars Tahoe this Saturday, the 9th. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. We're out here in New York City tonight. Dave Attell is over there Los Angeles. Dave can be found at the Canyon Club in Agora. That's out in Southern California.
Yeah.
This Friday. And then Saturday, Lake Tahoe. Beautiful.
Mm.
Beautiful. And let me tell you something. I had my bachelor party on Lake Tahoe, and we did the lake, and I did it drunk, and you could do it too, Dave.
I'll do it. I'm going to do it.
Take
I'm gonna
that
get out
boat.
There. They have like a jet ski rental or something.
Yeah, that's a little ambitious, Dave. Get on the glass bottom.
I'll take a look at it. I'll give you that. We'll split the difference.
What happened to the glass bottom boat? Didn't those
Catalina.
Used to be around?
Those were good.
Catalina.
They were like everywhere,
there's
though.
There movies about that.
Yeah. There would be sitcoms or it would be written into the script and stuff. A lot of glass. It would be worked into, it'd be like worked into, Bob Hope, where he'd want to see Angie Dickinson under his glass bottom boat or something like that. There's a lot of glass bottom boat humor.
Yeah.
What happened to it? Dave.
I think it's the Pimp My Ride thing.
I'm going to need you to bring back some glass bottom boat
humor. Do they exist?
I don't know. It just seems like there's a lawsuit waiting to happen with that glass bottom boat.
Yeah.
It seems like a bad idea.
So bring back the glass bottom boat humor?
If you could.
Just bring back the boat.
I'd like to bring back. You talk about that. I'd like some souffle humor.
Souffle, yeah.
Yeah, that part where act one of the sitcom, the wife's in the kitchen. She's got the souffle. The kids come home from school and slam the kitchen door. She runs to check the souffle. It hasn't fallen yet.
I like that, too. Right.
That's act one.
And then quicksand. We must have
quicksand
more
humor. Quicksand in general. Yeah.
More quicksand.
And it's also the mother-in-law jokes. You remember that? Like Alan Kane and all those guys, they'd have all the, my mother-in-law, the crazy something.
A lot of mother-in-law
humor. It's harder
now. Yeah, I know. And he used to be able to kid about substance abuse. Like, and Bewitched. Larry Tate would always say, make mine a double.
Right.
Yeah.
The most important thing we need to bring back, of course, is amnesia through being hit on the head.
Well, that's what I've learned that from watching 70s sitcoms, which is blunt force head trauma will make you lose your memory.
Yeah.
And the only thing that can bring it back is more blunt force head trauma.
Another hit, close head injury. Yes.
Yeah.
And when you get the amnesia, you'll quickly adopt somebody else's identity.
That can happen, too. But the point is, you get hit on the head with a coconut, only a frying pan can bring your memory back.
Yeah.
In fact, there's a movie or a sitcom in it for you and I here.
Yeah.
I wake up as you.
Oh. And I wake up as who?
David Tell.
Oh, okay, fine. Yeah. Dave, you be Drew.
Okay. Now, you've never seen in the movies where a woman is fondled with a coat hanger and she wakes up with the power of 10 Fondlers. Women or something. Yeah.
I think there was a scene in Escape to Witch Mountain.
Yes.
I recall as a
youth.
I
love that.
Yeah, where there was, or it was either that or the Barefoot Executive. I got to figure it out. I mean, I know it was a Disney. It may have been a
It was a Herbie movie, I believe. Herbie the Love Something.
It was a Herbie movie where someone's raped with a coat hanger.
And of course,
I think it was Herbie Goes to Mexico, and there was like a horrible coat hanger factory scene.
Herbie Goes to Nogales. I remember that because the coat hanger, Herbie was using the coat hanger as an antenna on his car, which we used to do back. We used to have 1,000,001 uses for coat hangers.
Oh, sure.
We don't really have anymore.
And then Doris Day's like, let me have that hanger for a second, and she's
bring back the meteor that exposes us to some radiation that makes us giants or gives us superpowers.
Oh, those were the days.
Yeah.
All right, Drew, now do we have time for a call? What are we doing?
I think we're done.
No? All right, we'll take another break. Boy, I like to take calls on this show, Drew.
I've noticed that about you. You're really into the calls.
Dave, what's the long term prognosis for you? You go to Agora on Friday, you go to Tahoe on Saturday, then what?
Then April 20th, I start this Comedy Central live tour, and it's going to be basically me in a bus traveling all over, doing theater gigs, and I did some TV stuff recently. I shot a pilot, so we'll see what happens with that. But, that's all boring. The stand-up is where it's at, and I'll keep going till July. And like I told that... Was I just Oscar'd there? Did you cut me off? Is that your music?
No, that was we love you doing stand-up. I mean, it's a shame to lose someone who can really do stand-up like you to a sitcom.
I don't worry about it, please. I'll be in a, in a walker going on.
How we should really do this? We should go, look, Dave Attell's an amazing stand-up comic. We'd all love to see him in a nightclub setting. He wants to do a sitcom for Fox. We know it's going to suck. On the other hand, who could blame Dave for making a few bucks and wanting to, have a little retirement money? Let's all pass the hat. Give Dave some money. He won't have to do the crappy sitcom, and we'll put him on stage where he belongs. All right, put me down for 500.
No, I was just gonna tell you, the whole thing with these sitcoms and all that stuff. How especially me, I'm a horrible actor, so I went into it really frightened. I was like, oh, God, this is going to be really bad. And then it turned out to be a pretty good experience, especially from where I'm coming from. I'm like, this isn't so bad. Like, there aren't drunk guys, trying to, puke on me or, pick a fight with me. And there's, no, woman with a beard, rubbing up against me. So it was, a little different. It was kind of when you bring your dog into the, he doesn't have to stay in the yard. He gets to come inside. Thanksgiving or something. So that's how I felt. It was, it was a cool experience. But I'll be out on the road till, the road says no.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back with Dave Attell in a minute. Yeah, everybody, that's the show.
We got to go.
I want to thank Dave Attell for coming in. Always a delight, Dave. Sorry.
Thanks a lot, guys, man. And enjoy New York, by the way. Have fun.
Oh, yeah.
We shall. Until next time, this is the Vicar of Christ for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
I didn't know this was a intervention.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.